Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
You know, Tony Dungy.
Yeah.
Former coach, Super Bowl champion, Colts, basically gave a word of encouragement to Tim Tebow.
Did he?
Yeah, you know, Tim Tebow.
Sure, he could use one right now.
Oh, I know it. Tim Tebow, who started out with the Broncos, NFL team. They drafted him in the draft. And my goodness, for being the backup quarterback his first year, I mean, going to the playoffs, not bad. Not bad at all.
Yeah.
But then he was traded to the New York Jets. And, you know, I got a Tim Tebow t-shirt for the Jets. And we were excited. We were excited to see Tim in New York. And they didn't give him a shot. They didn't give him a chance that whole season.
Yeah.
Gave him a nice contract, but here in the, you know, at the end of the season, they let him go. He's without an NFL team for the first time in his short career, and so you can see that, you know, my goodness, you may feel like a failure, or you may, you know, he doesn't have a team to play on. And if you know anything about Tim Tebow, he is an intense competitor,
very intense,
who loves just as intense he is about football. He's actually more intense about the Lord.
He loves the Lord.
Oh, yeah,
and he loves God. And talk about how one man preached the gospel, I mean, to the whole world on national television. His stand for God has just been so encouraging. And really, I believe, has really helped a lot of other major league athletes, you know, professional athletes, come forward and stand with
Be
their
bold
boldness.
About their faith.
I truly believe that, because you didn't hear that much, but you know, Tim Tebow is the type of individual that he doesn't look for a hole, basically. He just heads and creates one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You make one. And that's what a trailblazer for God does. He opens pathways so that others can come after. And so many times people are looking for, you know, what's safe. Oh, someone's been there before. I want to travel on the path that we know that someone's been. But then there are others that say, listen, I don't see a path, but that's okay. That's not going to limit me. With God's help and God's wisdom and God's direction, I'm going to create a path, not just for myself, but so that others can come behind. And that's exactly what Tim Tebow has done in the sports world, if you will.
Right.
He has blazed a hole.
Mm-hmm.
Now you had Jeremy Lin with the former New York Knicks, who's now with a Houston basketball team. And you have guys like R.A. Dickey with the New York Mets and now with the Toronto Blue Jays. And there's so many athletes, Drew Brees with the Saints, and Jeremy Affelt that we talked about yesterday, who returned $500,000,
right?
Oh, wow.
In overpayment.
That's right.
And his boss has paid, baseball player for the San Francisco Giants, gave it back. These are Christians. And there's a host of other Christians and sports athletes. In fact, I was just got a book not too long ago about the Cardinals organization, baseball organization, and how they won the World Series, but how most of those team members, a lot of those team members are believers.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And so they're coming out and they're saying, listen, I love Jesus and he's a reason for my success.
Right.
But Tony Dungy says this, what he tells Tim Tebow in a blog, the Lord has a good spot for you. The Lord has a good spot for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so many times we experience a setback. We experience a failure in our life. The Bible says that although you fall seven times, a righteous man falls seven times, he still gets up. And so many times we are trying to coach people and help people to be successful, but oftentimes, you know what? Life is about a bunch of failures. Uh-huh. Life is about stumbling and falling, and you got to get yourself back up.
Uh-huh.
You know, John Maxwell wrote a book once called Failing Forward.
Uh-huh.
And that when you do mess up, instead of falling back, you fall forward.
Yeah.
And you learn. And so what we want to do is learn from that experience, and we want to fail forward.
Right.
And we fail forward in God. God will help us.
Mm-hmm.
God will help us, but we need to learn from that. And you don't want to stay in a place where, you know, one setback, if you keep focusing on your setback, you know, David said, I'm going to magnify the Lord.
Right.
You have two choices. You could magnify your problems. You can magnify your failures. You can, you know, have sorrow and pity over your mistake. Or you can, listen, repent, cry out to God and say, God, I want to learn from this.
Mm-hmm.
I want to learn from this experience and move forward. I want to learn from your mercy. We talked about one time on VFN Radio about appropriating the mercy of God. God gives us so much mercy in our life. What he wants us to do is not to take the mercy and just, oh, okay, thank you for, you know, I didn't get a speeding ticket or whatever it was, and just throw it out. But he wants us to learn from that mercy so that we can grow from it.
What helps too is just like when we're embracing our weakness. Sometimes that's the hardest beginning lesson, because that's when we're giving the most attention, the most glory to God. It's just that when we are embracing our weakness and allowing him to move, because like you're saying, falling forward, a lot of times, like for me personally, the biggest fear was avoiding failure, because you just, you quote unquote, did not want to fail or be seen as a failure or make mistakes. It's just like...
Which means you're going to fail more often and harder, right?
Exactly. But it's like, that's when you learn the most, is when you learn like the realization of like failing is okay. Or in the eyes of the world, failing. Because that's when you learn the most. Like my biggest lesson points in my life was when I made the biggest mistake.
Yeah.
Because that's your biggest learning point. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you have to get to that transition point to say, okay, just let it go. And just let God.
Yeah, that's so good, because I heard someone once say that a person who hasn't failed at anything is a person who hasn't done anything.
Hasn't tried much.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, think about Abraham Lincoln. Oh, my goodness. Talk about failures. I mean, how many elections did he lose?
Mm-hmm.
Lost family members. I mean, he just failure after failure after in the world's eyes. But then eventually,
he became the president.
We're still talking about him today.
That's right.
One of the greatest presidents.
Exactly.
One of the greatest presidents. And he was the steady hand that kept our country together when our country had a civil war.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it. This nation was divided.
That's right.
To the point of guns, to the point of brother against brother, family members against family members, and it was his steady hand, you know, that kept, you know, this country together
from dividing itself in that most crucial hour.
Right. So if you stick, stay, and stand, even when it stinks, if you lean on the Lord, right, not on your own understanding, and you acknowledge God, he's going to direct you.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that you don't magnify the problem. You don't magnify the failure. You see what God can do in the midst of it.
And that's
the whole thing. Everybody wants a testimony,
but
nobody wants to go through the test. You know what I mean? All they got are the monies. You know what I mean? You got to go through the test. Everybody wants to see, you know, the lion get lockjawed, but nobody wants to be thrown in the lion's den.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to walk through the fire and say, I walked through the fire. Nobody wants to feel the heat of the flames.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, God is the fourth man in the fire.
Yeah.
It's when you get to the end of yourself, when you've hit rock bottom, believe me, from experience, it's a good place, you know, because when you don't have the ability to look to the right and that option's gone, when you don't have the ability to look to the left, and that option's gone, and when they've backed you up against a wall and you can't really move forward, and your back is against the wall, the only place for you to look is up.
That's right.
Imagine that.
Because so often people want God to deliver them from the storm, but the reality is that God delivers you through the storm.
That's right. Knowing God in the storm is so important.
That's right.
You know, it's where you meet God. It really is. It's where you cry out to God. And one of the things that we can do to really hinder that in a person's life, and I've seen this once, my goodness, I've seen this so many times, is that well-meaning people get it twisted. They feel like they have to rescue a person that's in a storm.
Mm.
You know, they have to reach out to that child or reach out to that person, and
they end up enabling them, and they miss out. They're the ones that miss out.
And they wonder why they keep having the continual repeated storms. Because they're not learning through the storm. They're not looking up to God. They're looking to someone else.
Listen, the prodigal son was eating what they feed the pigs.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
He was broke, busted, and disgusted, right? He was
amidst
done.
The famine.
Yeah, in the midst of the famine, he didn't spend everything his father gave him. And the Word of God tells us that he came to the end of himself.
Mm-hmm.
You got to come to the end of yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's the true moment when his own revelation came to himself. He's like, the servants in my father's house are better off than where I'm at right now.
Right.
And what's so significant is like when you look previously in that story, how it talks about he spent all of his wealth in his
wild living.
Yeah, his inheritance on wild living. And it's just like, that's where the world's at right now, on this, the wild living and the pleasures. And it's just like, I was reading recently, it's in Romans, I believe it is, where it's just like Moses wanted to suffer with the Israelites and saw that as a greater reward than the pleasures of sin for a short time.
Yeah.
That wild living, that pleasurable lifestyle. It's just like, which one do you want?
Yeah.
Because it's only going to last for a short time before you come to the end of yourself.
Right. But the thing about failure is that failure is not permanent.
That's right.
It doesn't have to be. Mm-mm. You know, you have peaks and you have valleys.
Yeah.
And what determines how long you stay in that valley, mm-hmm, is you.
Yeah. And the whole point, not the whole point, but a lot of times he's doing that because he's wanting to reveal. He's not trying to find out what's in your heart. He wants you to know what's in your heart.
Yeah. That's right.
He already knows. He's just trying to get it out so you can deal with it.
He already knows. And as much as you want to sometimes reach out and fix the problem for someone, you know, and men are really good at that. They're fixers. They want to jump in and just get in there and say, do this, 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 and that, you know, or moms, you know, mothers come in there. So a lot of times want to just, you know, love on, and just sometimes you just got to let people go through it, but point them to God, not go through it by themselves. Say, listen, God is your only help. God is your only hope. And when you do that, God shows himself strong. I mean, there's nothing, listen, a person with an argument is always at the mercy of someone with an experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you encounter God. When you encounter God, I want us to listen to, we're going to listen to, when we come back from break, we're going to listen to Tony Dungy's personal story, how he overcame obstacles, challenges, and failures. And this is a man that loves God. This is a Super Bowl winning coach, champion, and he loves the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Failure is not final. And failure in the world's eyes is definitely not, you know, failure in God is
right,
totally different, you know. But my goodness, all we need to do is just reach out to the Lord, cry out to God, say, Lord, here I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in this mess. Help me. Right. Help me. And if you don't know God, let me tell you something. This is the time. You know, oftentimes things are crashing and burning because you don't have the right foundation. You're building and you're doing all this stuff in your own strength, and you're doing all this stuff apart from God.
Right.
And that doesn't end well. I mean, the guys that started building the Tower of Babel, they started building this thing and
apart from God,
mm-hmm, and God's like, oh, no, thank you. You know, and it was over. It was done. Mm-hmm. And maybe what you're experiencing is because maybe you've left God. Maybe you've tried to do things in your own strength. Maybe you realize that here you are in a rubble. Maybe it's a financial collapse. Maybe it's a relationship that's broken. Maybe you are suffering tremendous health. Maybe you've got something that happened that's real bad. But let me tell you something. Right there in the midst of that, you can find God. I want you to listen to Tony Dungy, NFL, former NFL Super Bowl champion coach of the Indianapolis Colts. I want you to listen to his story.
2005 season, we're the number one seed. We've got a great team, a team really without any weaknesses. We've got home field advantage. Everyone's saying it's our year. We end up falling behind to the Steelers in our first round game. We march back. We've got a chance to tie the game up and go into overtime. And Mike Vanderjagt's our kicker, extremely accurate guy, never misses a big kick, and he misses. Pittsburgh goes on to win the Super Bowl. And now you kind of hear it from everybody. Well, the Colts are never going to win one. They've had all these teams that are really good, but something's missing, and that window of opportunity is going to close up on them. I can remember thinking, man, as good a team as we had, if we don't win it now, we may never win it. And I'm going to have to be okay with that. I think you can glorify the Lord in every circumstance. How you respond to failure, how you respond to disappointment, says a lot more than how you do in successes. God has taken some unexpected things in my life
over and over, and really, I think, tried to find out if I was going to stay with him or if I was ever going to get to the point where I say, this is too much. I'm going to go my own way. I started coaching when I was 25 years old. And probably by the time I'd been an assistant coach for 10, 11 years, the word was getting out, this guy might be a good head coach. I started to interview for head coaching jobs, but everyone was looking for that stereotypical coach, looking for the guy who was gonna demand perfection from his players, who was gonna show that emotion and everything that they expected to see in a head coach. And that wasn't me. How much does this mean to you? How much are you prepared to sacrifice to lead his team? And what's important to you in life? And you know what the man wants to hear, but it's not really what's in your heart. I'm gonna give you a lot. I believe I'm gonna deliver you a championship, but no, the team is not gonna be the most important thing. When I was called to interview at Tampa, I told Lauren, we're not gonna get this job. I don't know anybody there. I have no connections. And so when I got the job, I said, you know what? We wanna win a Super Bowl, and I believe we will. I wanna do it the right way. I wanna do it so that our young men are people that the community is gonna be proud of. I wanna do it in such a way that we're doing the right things with our families, and it's gonna be a win-win situation. I believe it can be done, and I believe it can be done here. I came down feeling like, hey, this is where God wants us. We're gonna win. Everything's gonna be great because this is God's plan. It's not my plan. That's, to me, one of the hardest things in life, when you have an idea of the way things are gonna go, what you hope for, what you dream about, what you pray for, and it doesn't come through. That's when it's easy to get disappointed with God. Why didn't it work? Why didn't it pan out the way I thought it would? It was one of the biggest disappointments of my life, because I did feel like the Lord had brought me down to Tampa. And I had to realize that it worked out. It just didn't work out the way I had planned it. I didn't know at the time when I got fired what I was supposed to do. Was I supposed to look for something in Tampa outside of football, or was I supposed to look for another job, another city? And Jim Irsay, the owner of the Colts, called me and he said, we're making a change at head coach with the Indianapolis Colts, and you're the guy that I want to be our coach. I believe in all the things that you believe in. We want to do things the right way. We want to win, but win with the right kind of people, and you're the guy to lead us. And that was a message that I really needed to hear at that point. My favorite passage in the Bible is where Christ says, what would it profit a man to gain the whole world but forfeit his soul? And with 31 years in the National Football League, I've seen that a lot. And so to me, that was the thing that I always wanted to tell my players. Don't put this game first. Don't make football everything in your life. How we relate to each other, how we live, what you have in your heart for eternity, how you're responding to the Lord, that's the most important thing. This game will take care of itself. Even though we, you know, for 4 or 5 years had those bitter disappointments at the end of each year, I never gave up. It wasn't to the point where I said, hey, we can never win this thing, but I got to the point where if that is what God has in store, it'll be a bitter pill to swallow, but I'm gonna be okay with that. We been through a lot, and our slogan by that time was, it's our time. You know, those disappointments were in the past, but now it's our time, and we got to seize the moment, and we did that. Amazing thing in the locker room, Super Bowls are so different. As soon as you win, the celebration starts. You have a ceremony out on the field. It maybe takes 40 minutes to get everybody back together. Many of our players were just waiting. They said, Coach, we've got to finish this one like we have every other game. We've got to have the team prayer. And we asked that the reporters shut their cameras down and let us pray. And I was so proud of the guys for hanging in there and saying, this is what we want to do. We want to honor the Lord in this victory. And we did that. One photographer didn't honor our wishes. He took a picture of it, but that picture went all over the internet, went all over, and it was really a great tribute to what that team had in mind of putting the Lord first, even at the Super Bowl. Every decision I make in life, I'm going to make it through the lens of Jesus Christ. I'm going to put him out there first. And my own feelings, my own thoughts, my own desires are going to be second. It's that simple. And if we do that, Christ promised that he would come into our lives. He'd be our head coach, and he'd guide us to that victory, that ultimate victory. I'm Tony Dungy, and I am second.
Come on now.
Wow,
oh, my goodness.
Powerful.
Come on now.
That's powerful.
Failure that is powerful. Not final. Failure is not final in the Lord. Listen, this is a man who saw so many obstacles, so many things that he faced, and he refused to change who he was.
That's right.
Listen, he wasn't going to be the stereotypical football player, football coach. He wasn't going to demand all these things.
Right.
And this is a mild-mannered man. I mean, you see him on he doesn't fit a stereotypical coach.
Doesn't show a lot of emotion.
A lot of emotion, throwing stuff at him. You know, sometimes in sports, you see folks use all kind of language. It's not necessary to use that type of language to inspire someone to greatness. That's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And after all of those failures, you know, it's nothing like being fired. You know, you get fired and you feel like you're a failure. You did something wrong. You didn't perform. You didn't do what you needed to do. Mm-hmm. And out of that brokenness, he gets an opportunity to go on a team that he finally does lead to the Super Bowl. He finally does lead them. But he's saying now they experienced so much failure that at this point they're saying now is our time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, you're listening today and maybe you've experienced setback upon setback, failure upon failure. You know, maybe you've even away from God right now and you're saying, my goodness, listen, we want to tell you today that now is your time. Mm-hmm. You don't have to stay in that place of failure. You don't have to stay in that place of setback. You don't have to stay in that place of lack and brokenness and despair. But let me tell you that Jesus, the head coach, Jesus can pull you out of that. All you need to do is turn to him. Repent where necessary, where God's showing you that this doesn't match up with his will, his ways, or his word, and say, God, now's my time.
Yeah.
Now's my time. I'm coming back to you. I want to get things right in my life. I want to get things right in my home.
Yeah.
I want to get things right in my business. I want to get things right with my family because now is the time.
Mm-hmm.
Friend, time is short. We talked about yesterday how life is but a vapor. And David says, Lord, teach us to number our days aright. We don't know how much time that we have. But like Tony Dungy just said, with the time we do have, we need to glorify the Lord.
That's right.
And the difference that one man can make, here he is, he's leading this team. And at the very end, the team, in as they're celebrating this Super Bowl victory, I mean, if you watch a Super Bowl victory, you watch a Super Bowl victory, they're just going nuts,
bonkers,
and they're just, and they ask the media to turn off all of the cameras and everything so that they can finish the Super Bowl game.
Yeah.
Like they finished all other victories, and that's praying to the Lord and honoring God.
And thanking him.
And thanking the Lord. You know, it's so important that when we come out of the place that we're in, when we come out of the failure, that we don't forget God. That at the place that he pulls us out of the darkness and the light begins to shine upon us and we see the breakthrough, take that knee. Take that moment in your heart to say, Lord, you know, I'm going to honor you. I'm not going to forget you, and I'm not going to go back. Listen, failure is not final. Just turn your heart to God. Give him everything you have and let Jesus Christ pull you through. You know, Tony Dungy has now retired, former Super Bowl champion, head football coach of the Colts. He has retired, and he actually has a ministry for troubled youth, and his organization is All Pro Dad, All Pro Dad, and this is really an amazing, you know, successful in one area, successful in another. Listen, if you have God in your life, he's going to direct you in what he wants you to do, because it's all about glorifying God. You may be working one place here today, you may be working another place there, you may wear this hat tomorrow. It doesn't matter what hat you wear or what the Lord will have you to do, you know, what position you're in. It's all about what the Lord will have you to do. It's right. about glorifying him wherever you're at. But we're going to have this related for you here on The Torch, and you're going to be able to see Tony Dungy's organization, All Pro Dad. He has all sorts of mentoring articles and tools and videos and blogs to equip fathers, to be better fathers.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, but he's written a host of books. I mean, he has an all-pro dad book, Seven Essentials to Be a Hero to Your Kids. He also has Uncommon Life, the playbook for an uncommon life. Quiet Strength, Men's Bible Study.
Wow.
I mean, this is...
That's cool.
He has a children's book, You Can Do It. And he has another book called Uncommon Manhood. I mean,
wow,
this is so wow. encouraging. And just to see the light shine from just every aspect, every corner, it's not over. It's right. not over.
He's
it's
investing all his talents.
And that's what you have to do. You got to invest all your talents, and you got to lay it all on the field for God. You don't want to bring anything back of your life into the locker room. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We've only got one life to spend. And you don't want to have any kind of reserve. You know, you want to put it all on the field for the Lord, and you want to do everything that you can do in the time that you have to do it, all for God's glory.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, to just partner on a monthly basis, to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com. Or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.